So Lord Jesus, as we come to the Word, we recognize that not just Acts 13, but every passage in the Scriptures is ultimately about You and the work that You have done for sinners like us and the Gospel. So as we come to this, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts receptive to the beauty and glory of the Gospel that the Apostle Paul unfolds for us in these verses. We pray in Your name. Amen. So, as I was reading Acts 13 just a bit ago, hopefully you were hearing some echoes of the Advent series that we just finished a couple weeks ago. In that Advent series, remember what we did? We looked at several stories, stories of David, stories of Moses and Abraham and so forth. And what we saw is how each of those stories pointed beyond themselves, beyond their immediate story, to a much grander story, a much greater story. And it's not just a story of David and Moses and Abraham and Noah and so forth. Ultimately, those stories are stories about Jesus. And now, I realize that not everybody gets that. Many people, Christians included, right? Don't see the Bible like that at all. They don't see, especially the Old Testament, as ultimately one story that's fulfilled and expanded and balloons in Jesus Christ. They see it really as a collection of moral teachings, like Aesop's fables. Here's a nice little story about this character, and here's the moral lesson that we can learn from him, and we apply that lesson in our lives, and then we move on to the next one. They're kind of disconnected in that sense. Or perhaps they maybe only see the New Testament as focused on Jesus. The New Testament then is the Christian holy book. The Old Testament, really, that's more of the Jewish holy book. That was certainly the perspective of my Old Testament professor at college at NC State. We were not allowed, first day, we were not allowed to call the Old Testament the Old Testament. Why not? What does the Old Testament assume? That it's old. That there's a New Testament. The Old Testament presupposes a New Testament. It presupposes a connection to Jesus, but we were going to study the Hebrew Bible without any kind of connection to Jesus. Because that assumes too much. We don't have that commitment, and it was argued that the Old Testament, or really the Hebrew Bible, doesn't commit us to expecting a New Testament. Certainly not one that's zeroes in on Jesus. And I think that way of looking at Scripture is far more common than we realize. And that's true even among Christians. You don't have to just go to the secular college to get that perspective. A lot of Christians don't know what to do with the Old Testament. They really do see that as, that's kind of the old thing, and now the new thing has come. Now, we had that back then, now we have Jesus. And now we look to the New Testament, and we kind of just kind of look at the Old Testament as like the Aesop's fables. There's a really good lesson when we see David and Goliath. We have our own Goliaths, right? So we need to conquer those Goliaths just like David conquered his. But then there's no connection whatsoever between that story and any other story in the Old Testament and what we find in Jesus. And I realize not everybody gets that, and we just went through a whole series where I tried to show that's exactly what the Old Testament does. It's not just a bunch of disconnected stories. It's one story, all driving at Jesus. I thought what might be helpful here is to maybe spend one more Sunday on this and look one more time at why we should consider the Hebrew Bible the Old Testament. Why we should commit ourselves to the view that there is a New Testament. That it's not just disconnected or self-contained, but it's driving us somewhere. That's how Jesus read His Old Testament. When He read the Old Testament, He saw Himself everywhere. That's how Jesus taught His apostles to read it. If you go and you read, for example, Luke 24, look at the Bible lesson Jesus gave to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He took and He opened up all of the Old Testament and He showed them again and again and again that this is about Me. These things are leading toward Me. These things are focused on Me. All of that is ultimately about Me. That was His view. That's what He taught His apostles, how He taught them to read it, and that's how they taught it to us. And so I'm going to give you one example of this. There's a lot of places that we can look at in the New Testament to see that this is precisely how the apostles understood their Old Testaments. But I'm going to pick one from Acts chapter 13. What we have in Acts 13 is an Old Testament sermon that was preached by the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see two things from Paul's sermon which brings this home, what we're saying here. Number one, every passage of Scripture, Old Testament or New Testament, every passage of Scripture is about Jesus. And then the second point is, if we're not careful, we'll miss it. Every passage is about Jesus, and if we are not careful, we will miss it. So look with me at Acts 13. Here in Acts 13, Paul and his companions are in the city of Antioch. They had recently been sent out, commissioned as missionaries. They're going, as is their custom, to synagogues in these different regions. And on this particular occasion, they find a synagogue. It's the Sabbath day. And they go there hoping they might have an opportunity to teach or to preach something about Jesus. So they go in, they sit down for worship, they go through the worship service, and then that's exactly what they're invited to do. Look at verse 15. So they read from the Bible, the Old Testament. After reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." Be kind of an odd thing today just to randomly pick somebody out. Would you like, anybody want to come up and preach today? You know? But they were obviously known to be competent in the Scriptures, so they were invited to come up and to speak, and Paul is eager to jump on that invitation. So he stands up and he begins to preach. And like so many of the sermons in the book of Acts, Paul begins by recounting the history of the Old Testament. Now, have you ever stopped to just ask the question, why on earth do they do something like that? I mean, Peter does that. If you go and read Peter's sermons, if you read Stephen's sermon, you read Paul's sermons, you see them when they're in the synagogue, they begin just recounting the history of the Old Testament. Doesn't that seem a bit unnecessary? It's kind of like going to a Star Wars convention and saying, now I want to tell you the story of this guy called Luke. All right? Maybe you haven't heard of him, right? And, his sister's Leia. His dad's name's Darth. There's some family conflict, a little family drama here. Maybe you haven't heard how that unfolds. Right? Everybody be sitting there. We've known this from knee-high, right? We kind of look at that, and we see Paul going into a synagogue, and he's talking to these people who know the Old Testament story, like the back of the... It's their story. Right? They've heard it from knee-high up. Right? Some of these are experts in the history of the Old Testament. Paul's not going in and he's not giving an Old Testament overview for people who are biblically illiterate of the Old Testament history. It's not what he's doing. He's doing something different. He's not giving an Old Testament overview per se. He's retelling the Old Testament stories in order to show how each of those stories is fundamentally one story, fundamentally one overarching purpose and direction. There's one object that makes all of those stories tie together, that brings them all in harmony. He's tracing the flow of the redemptive history in the Old Testament. And what he's doing is he's showing how each period in redemptive history, whether you want to go to the patriarchs, whether you want to go to Israel and Moses, whether you want to go to David, whether you want to go to the Exodus or the conquest of the land, the period of the judges, you want to go to the kings, you want to go anywhere in the Old Testament, all of those periods, and each one of them is advancing and is expanding God's promise of a coming Savior. Each one of them. You could pick anywhere. In the Old Testament, all of it is driving at one overarching person. One unifying object. The promised Savior, Jesus. Look at verse 23. Once Paul, as he's going through the Old Testament story, he gets to David and look at what he says. Of this man's offspring, of this man's children, one of his children, David's children, of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior Jesus, and then look at that, as he promised. Now, what promise is Paul thinking of here? Well, certainly the promise that was made to David, but not simply that, because he doesn't start with David. Where does he start? He starts way before David. He goes all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the fathers. There was a promise made to them. There was a promise made with Moses. There was certainly a promise made with Israel and with David. And this promise continues throughout the Old Testament, a promise going all the way back to the garden, as we saw during the Advent series. The promise of salvation in a risen Savior. The promise fulfilled in the gospel of Jesus. In fact, Paul goes back to it again in verse 32. Look at him. And we bring you the good news, literally the gospel, that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. All of those passages that you have known from knee high, every one of them is about Jesus. And what he does after that is he continues to quote more scriptures. And he keeps going and he gets specific. He begins to take people into the text saying, look at this text. This can't be fulfilled in David. He died. He didn't conquer death. He didn't bring the promise to fruition. It was pointing to someone greater than David. Finally, fulfilled in Jesus. You see, when Paul preached every passage of scripture, was about Jesus. And not just for the Old Testament. Because you notice he gets to the New Testament here, doesn't he? He talks about John, the New Testament prophet. He quotes John. Says even John recognized that he wasn't the one. He was still pointing to Jesus. His entire ministry was one pointing to Jesus. Jesus pointed to Jesus. I'm here pointing to Jesus. It's all about him. Everything in scripture is ultimately about Jesus. But our need for Jesus, the good news of his coming to save us. And look, once you see that, they didn't see that. Once you see that, you see it everywhere. It's sort of like that movie, The Sixth Sense, that came out in the late 90s. Bruce Willis was in it. And then you watch that whole movie, and at the end of it, you get the big reveal. He's actually a ghost. So the whole movie, you think he's... Spoiler alert. There you go. Right, but that was my reaction, right? At the end of the movie. What? You know, the whole movie, you think he's like living. And then you get the big reveal. But here's what happens, okay? Then you go back and you rewatch the movie. And you see it everywhere, right? You see the camera angles. You see how he just misses interacting with other people and all these. It's so clear. Once you know the ending, you go back and you can't avoid seeing it. You see it everywhere. That's what Paul is doing with the Bible. Once you see that everything, and I mean everything, points to Jesus, it's all ultimately about Jesus. You can go anywhere and you're going to see him. You can't avoid seeing him. You're going to look at the character qualities of certain characters, and you say, that is magnified in Jesus. I see Jesus in this man. I see the promise going through him to Jesus. I see what he couldn't do that Jesus did. I see my need in this man or in this woman for Jesus. I see myself here needing to be redeemed by the Redeemer that they're pointing to. You can go anywhere, everywhere, and that's what you're going to see. Once you see Jesus in Scripture, you see him everywhere. But not everybody sees that. If everybody saw that, we wouldn't have to have this sermon. Paul wouldn't have had to preach his sermon. Not everybody sees it. And here's the point. If we're not careful, we'll miss it too. See, that's precisely what those in Jesus' day missed. They knew the Old Testament. But they missed what the Old Testament was fundamentally about. Look at verse 27. This is a sobering verse, if you understand what's going on here. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him, that is Jesus, nor understand the utterances of the prophets. Now, underline this. which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. Do you hear that? Every Sabbath, week in and week out, they hear the word of God preached and taught. They memorized it. They talked about it whenever they went to and fro. They heard it. They were seeped in it, right? They were like a mug, and the Old Testament was the tea bag, just letting it all seep in, and it was just going through. And yet, they didn't see Jesus anywhere. They didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't understand what they were reading, what they heard preached, what they heard taught, what they had memorized. It was all about Jesus. They knew the history. They knew the stories. They knew the moral lessons. These people were working very hard to get and keep the moral lessons that those stories taught. They could retell them over and over again. They could do it from memory. But they didn't know Jesus. Now, some people may say at this point, well, just so what to that? So what if we miss that? What's so wrong? I mean, at least we're reading the Bible, right? And they were being religious people. Don't we want people to be religious people? They weren't out there doing all kinds of debaucherous things. They were really trying hard to be moral people. What's so wrong about that? What's so wrong with reading the Bible stories for the stories themselves, for the good moral lessons that they give? So what if we don't see Jesus? There's plenty to take away from those passages, even if Jesus is not present in them. We can still get a lot from those. We could be good, decent people with those stories. We can still find value without having to find Jesus. The important thing is, we use the stories to become better people. So what if we don't see Jesus in them? Well, let me try to answer the so what question. The so what question is so important here. If you just read those stories for the moral lessons, here's what's going to happen. You're going to begin to view religion, Christianity, as basically a set of morals. Right? You keep reading your Bible like that. Basically what Christianity is it's a Christian set of rules. Right? The Muslims have their set of rules. The Jews have their set of rules. Secular people have their set of rules and standards. Christians have theirs, and we just keep those rules that are unique to Christians. And we do that hard enough, we be good enough people, and then we're in. You begin to base your relationship with God on how well you perform the rules. That's what happens when you read those stories as just good moral stories. Moral lessons, listen to this, moral lessons cannot change you. Moral lessons can do nothing to the fundamental problem of sin in our hearts. Commands, when they hit you, don't change you. They show you that you need to change. And what's really scary is some people get so caught up in the rules that they think that they're doing good enough. They look at the rules, I've kept those. I'm doing pretty good at those rules. If I were to die today, I've done plenty. And that's self-righteousness, and that gets in, and that digs deep. And then you can't even see in the moral lessons the fact that we don't keep the moral lessons. The moral lessons cannot change a hard heart. They cannot raise you spiritually from the dead. Only the gospel has the power to change and to transform your life. And it doesn't do that by simply telling you to be a better moral person. It doesn't say, now look at the example of Moses. If you can just be like Moses, then you'll... Has anybody done that? Could anybody be that good? Well, none of us can, but the whole point of those stories is there's only one who could. And he's come. The gospel transforms you because of the one who did live up to the moral lessons. The only one who lived up to the moral lessons and died for people like you and me who'd never live up to the moral lessons. And because the same power that raised him from the dead is working in and through us through faith to change us from the inside out. The rules can't do that. So do you see what's at stake in the so what question? You miss that, you miss eternity. If Jesus is not at the center of Scripture, if you lose sight of Jesus, then you lose sight of the gospel. You miss Jesus, you completely gut the Bible of grace. You gut your life of grace. And as a result, you'll not only miss grace, you'll begin to resent it. You'll begin to hate it. Because when you see grace going forward, you think, that person didn't earn that, and I've been working hard to earn that, I should get that. And then you begin to just see that it when you see it. And if you think that that's an overstatement, look at verse 27 again. Look at what those people did who missed Jesus in every page of the Bible. Look what they did to Jesus in life. Because they didn't recognize Him nor understand the utterances of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, they fulfilled them by condemning Him. They missed Jesus in Scripture. And so when they met Him in life, they killed Him. Now let me ask you, could that happen to us today? It can and it does. Week by week, sermons are preached from countless pulpits that have great moral lessons and no gospel. Day after day, countless people will sit down, they'll begin reading their Bibles for a quiet time, digging for some moral lesson that they can then apply through that day or through that week. Some daily inspiration to be better people, but never looking for Jesus, you see. And when they do hear the gospel, when they hear that we're not good moral people, that we've not kept the moral rules, that we're actually far more immoral than we could ever begin to grasp, when they hear that, all of our efforts at becoming better people contributes absolutely nothing to our acceptance with God. When they hear that salvation is all about Jesus, what He's done for immoral people like us, when they hear that, it's not good news. That becomes offensive. They resent it. They reject it. Can we do the same thing that we see in verse 27 today? Yes. And it happens all the time. Well, at least people are having a quiet time. But what good is having a quiet time do you if you don't get Jesus? So you see, the so what question matters. It eternally matters. Every passage of Scripture is about Jesus. And what this is telling us is if we're not careful, we're going to miss it too. So what can we do to not miss it? As we begin this new year, how can we keep from missing that? That central, now that you see it, obvious point, how do we keep Jesus central? Let me give you just a few ways quickly and then we're done. Number one, apply this in worship. Apply it in worship. When you come to hear the word each week, make sure that the central thing you get out of the sermon is Jesus. Right? Not an illustration. There's a lot, I don't know why this happens. Maybe you're like me. You hear a great sermon, you hear a great illustration, you can remember the illustration, and then what do you completely miss? The whole point of the illustration, right? Not an illustration, not a moral lesson, but Jesus. Week in and week out, every week, you hear this preached and taught and applied. Get Jesus. Come here, unwilling to leave until you see Jesus. Number two, apply it in your quiet times. I'm not down on quiet times. I think that's a great thing. But when you sit down to hear the word every day, make sure the central thing that you get from your reading is Jesus. This time of year, a lot of people, including me, begin the year off with a year-long Like, read through the whole Bible plan, right? How many people are trying to do that? Trying to go through the whole Bible? A number of you are. If you haven't raised your hand, that's okay. You could start this week because you're only like a week behind. And I'm going to get behind next week anyway. So what, just jump in. Go for it. All right? If you'd want a resource on that, I got tons of them, okay? Have a plan to read the Bible. Don't sit down and be like, let's go here. And then you're like reading about a guy jumping off a cliff and you're like, go here. Now have a systematic approach to reading. Know what you're going to read when you sit down to have a time with the Lord. Okay, that's important. You ought to be doing it every day. You ought to avail yourselves of these blessed opportunities that God has given you with access to the Word of God. We just prayed for our missionaries in South America trying to get the gospel to people who don't have access to it. And we have it every day on your phone, on your tablet. Just get it. Take it in. But here's the point. When you take it in, take in Jesus. When you read your Bible in the morning or in the evening or whatever time you prefer, you should be asking yourself, what does this passage, how does it show me my need for Jesus? You should be asking that question. How does it show me the way Jesus meets that need in the gospel? How does this help me better understand His character and His attributes and His life and His death, His resurrection, His ascension, the way that He intercedes for me, the way that He's coming back one day? How does it show me those things about Jesus? The byproduct of that, by the way, is you will become a more moral person, but not from the outside in, from the inside out. So read all of Scripture this year, but get Jesus in all of Scripture. And then lastly, apply it in your life. I want you to really think about this in the week upcoming, because we're going to come back to this next week, and we're going to spend a few weeks on this. Think about this for a second. If the central focus in all of Scripture is God sending His Son into the world to bring us the gospel, and the question is that the central focus of our lives? Wouldn't that make sense? That our life would want to reflect that which is the central priority in God's Word? Is the advance of the gospel the overarching concern, the focus, the passion of your life? Or to put it another way, can you look at any particular story in your life, any episode of your life, and kind of cut that scene out and look at it and see the relationship of that scene to the advance of the gospel? Can you see Jesus in any segment of your life, in any holiday celebrations or any vacation or any day-to-day work stuff you do, the raising of your children, can you slice a piece of your life out and say, well, clearly there's Jesus? Can you see the gospel? Can you see the gospel spreading through that? And I want you to know that none of us will ever do that perfectly. But all of us are called to nothing less. Listen, just, this is where we end. Philippians 1:27. Just listen to this applied to our lives. Paul says, one thing, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's what God calls each one of us to do, to apply this view of Scripture in your life, to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, may God give us His grace as we launch into 2018, that in seeing Jesus in all of Scripture, that the gospel might be reflected in all of our lives together. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, that is our prayer for ourselves and for each other, that we would let our manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're sinners and we know that in our strength we will never be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as your Holy Spirit takes the gospel and applies the blood-bought grace of the gospel to us, we will more and more and more reflect the gospel in all of life. Help us to see that daily from the Word. Lord, we need to see it daily, weekly. Show us Jesus and help us to treasure Him for all that He's worth. And we pray in His name. Amen.